We continue our learning. Leilu Nishmas David ben Menachem, Moshe Menachem Yaakov, and Bittichos Eliyahu. We are in Maaseh Sheni, Perek Hey, Mishnah Hey. Now, we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, we had this very interesting way we calculated the price of the redemption coins so that we could deduct the expenses of the owner from the value of the fruit based on the fact that Kerem Ravai is already Kerem Ravai when it's attached to the tree. And now it's going to cost him a little bit of money, the hoeing and the harvesting, the picking and the guarding. So we took that a little bit off of the price. Says the Mishnah, there's an exception to that rule. Uva Shvius. What if you're redeeming net or avai produce during the Shemitah year? So during the Shemitah year, you're not allowed to work the field anyway. So what kind of expenses are you going to have? You don't hire people. You can pick them for yourself, and you can only pick a little bit at a time anyway for those of the meals of the day. So I'm not harvesting a lot at a time. So because there are no expenses, Uva Shvius Podeo B'Shavyo. So you redeem it at its full value. You don't need to go through the whole method of the previous Mishnah. V'mahaya HaKol Mufkar. Let's say we're talking about Ravai that someone declared ownerless. He made it Hefker. So here, you have a person then what happens after you made it Hefker, someone acquires the fruit. So if someone acquires the fruit from where it was Hefker, so it's his responsibility now to bring the fruit to Yushalayim or redeem it and bring the coins to Yushalayim. So the Mishnah is telling us that, yes, there is going to be a halach of Ravai that applies to fruit that someone acquired from Hefker. How so? Mayaha kol mufkar, ein lo el eschar lekita. How it works is like this. The owner made his Ravai trees, let's say, ownerless or vineyard ownerless. Someone acquires them and now wants to redeem. So this person who's redeeming the fruit, analyst chalakita, means the only thing he can deduct from the price of the coins of that which you're redeeming, the price of the fruit, is the cost of picking the fruit. Why? The other work wasn't done by him. So it only becomes his now at the time of picking, of harvesting, of plucking them off. So that he can deduct. But the other was already done by the other guy. So therefore, he cannot deduct any more than just schar lekita. And then the Mishnah says, "Hapo deneta ravai shelo mosif alav chamishi." So ben tru shelo ben shenita lo mematana. So this is Basil's opinion. Obviously, it reflects Basil's opinion because it speaks about neta ravai that you're adding on a chomesh to. Now, this Mishnah mentions neta ravai. Yeah, when the Mishnah mentions neta ravai, so the people who hold it's only kerem ravai would change the girsa to kerem ravai. The same way that people hold neta ravai would change the girsa in the previous Mishnahs that said kerem and would say neta. But the bottom line is, it says like this, that a person who has to redeem and who has to add a fifth to the redemption, the person who's the owner, Bain Tru Shelo, whether the fruit was his all the way from the beginning, Uvain Shinin Telon Matana, or even if it was given to him as a gift, since now it's his. Now, the Mefarshim explained that we're talking about fruit. What kind of fruit can be given as a gift? To what kind of Kerem Ravai fruit can be given to someone as a gift? Remember, Kerem Ravai, according to Basil, is Mamon Gavoa. And since it's Mamon Gavoa, it's really ownerless. That was the reason, if you remember, that only Beis Shammai says you have to leave Peret and Ololos from the grapes for the Aniyim. According to Beis Hillel, you don't have to, because it's Mamon Gavoa. It doesn't really belong to anyone. So how can anyone gift the Kerem Ravai anyway? So first, I'm explaining, we're talking about where it's the grapes, let's say, are not even considered fruit yet. They're at the smadar stage, when the blossoms fall and the fruit are first become visible. So since it's so undeveloped, it doesn't have the status of fruit, and it doesn't have the kedusha of ravai. If it doesn't have the kedusha of kerem ravai yet, so then it can be owned by someone. Only when the kedusha sets in, when it's a larger, past the smadar stage, where we say, oh, now it's mamon gavoa, and you can't give it as a gift at all. Perek. Hey, Mishnah Va. This Mishnah is going to discuss the laws of Biur Maser. This week's Pasha. Read tomorrow, Pasha's Kisavo, destruction of Maser, which we'll talk about. And Vidui Maser, declaring that, Sisi Kachala Sharet Sivisani, I did what Hashem expected me to do with respect to giving out the Masros to their rightful owners. We're going to talk about two types of Biur. One type of Biur is where I gave everything to the right people, the right to the recipients that deserved it. And the other type of bira we'll discuss is what is actually destruction, either burning or throwing into the sea. And we'll see under what circumstances I do one type of bira and the other, what other circumstances I do the other type of bira. Says Mishnah, Erev Yom Tov HaRishon Shel Pesach Shel Revi'is V'Shel Shvi'is Haya Bira. When was the bira done? So the Bir Masros was done after the third year and after the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle. And the Mishnah is telling us when that was. So the Bir date was Erev Pesach of the fourth year or Erev Pesach of the Shemitah year. Obviously, in the Shemitah year, nothing grows. I'm not permitted. It has its own halacha, and I don't have to, rather, I don't have to, that which grows in the Shemitah is not subject to Masros at all. But it's during that year, Erev Pesach of that year, that I'm going to do the Vidui and the Bir Masros of the previous 3 years. And the same thing in the fourth year, also for the previous 3 years. So it was done Erev Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, Shel Revi'is, Shel Shvi'is. That's when the Bir took place. Ketzad Haya Bir, the Mishnah asks, so how did you do the Bir? Nosdim Truma Utrumas Maser LaBaylam. You gave the Truma and the Trumas Maser to their owner, their rightful owner, obviously, or the Kohanim. Umaser Rishon Levolov Maser Rishon to their rightful owner, obviously the Levi. Umaser Ani Levolov, and I give Maser Ani to their Baylam, to the poor. Umaser Sheni Vahabikurim Misbarim B'chol Makom. But Maser Sheni and Bikurim, those have to be destroyed. Why did they have to be destroyed? Well, if you don't have enough time to take the Maser Sheni and Bikurim to Yerushalayim before this Mana Bir kicks in, before that deadline, so what are you going to do now? Now we have to destroy them. There's no solution other than to destroy them. Now, how do I know from the Psukim that there's these two types of Bir, where Maser Sheni and Bikurim on the one hand, there may be the necessity to destroy them, and then I have the others, the Truma, Trumas Maser, and Maser Rishon, where those I'm not destroying. Those I can just give to their owners. They don't have to be brought anywhere. So the Pasuk says, Biarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis, a person declares as part of his Vidri Maser, I destroyed that which is holy from the house. V'gam Nisativ LaLevi V'LaGer LaYasom V'Almana. And I gave that which needs to go to the Levi and to the Ger and the orphan and the widow. Now, this pasuk has two phrases. One is Biarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis, and the other is V'gam Nisativ, etc. So the Chachamim say that the first statement where he says Biarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis, that's a reference to Maser Sheni and Bikurim. They're called holy, right? They're Kodesh. And the second statement, where you say Gam Nisativ, that's referring to Truma, Maser Rishon, Maser Sheni, and Maser Ani. So Maser Sheni and Bikurim, so those have to be removed in the sense that they have to be destroyed if it's too late, but the others only have to be given. So those two phrases, Biarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis on the one hand, that's going to refer to Bikurim and Maser Sheni under certain circumstances. And the other, V'gam Nisativ LaLevi, etc., those are the other gifts. Now the Mishnah says here that the Maser Sheni and Bikurim have to be destroyed. So it does not, and this is Erev Pesach, so you don't have to destroy food that I'm going to be eating during Pesach. Yes, on Erev Pesach, I figure out how much Maser Sheni I'm going to need on Pesach, let's say. And then the rest of it, of course, that I don't need, I'm going to destroy. Yes, the Chachamim say that beer should be done in Erev Pesach, but the food that I need for Pesach itself, there's no need for me to do so. Now, why did the Chachamim have the right to do so? Because Midoraisa anyway, beer only applies at the end of Pesach. And the Chachamim were the ones who instituted, no, I want it done Erev Pesach, so they have the right now to relax this particular halacha of Maser Sheni being mavur, being destroyed before Pesach starts for food that I need over Pesach. Because anyway, Midoraisa, I really didn't have to destroy it on Erev Pesach and could have waited till after Pesach. Then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, he holds differently regarding Bikurim. Ha Bikurim, you don't destroy if the deadline comes. Nitarim la Kohanim Kitruma. Give it to the Kohanim like Truma. Bikurim is also called Trumas Yadcha. The Torah also, Bikurim is one of the five things that are called Truma. Chala is also called Truma. So Bikurim can be given to Kohanim. Don't worry about the Yushalayim problem. Just give them to Kohanim like Truma. What about the following halacha? Tafshil, I have a cooked food. Inside the cooked food, one of the ingredients is Maser Sheni. I don't notice it, though. So I can't eat it outside Yushalayim. The question is, do I have to destroy the whole Tafshil at this Zman HaBir? Beis Shammai Omrim, yes, Tzarech Levayer. Beis Hillel Omrim, Harehu Kimuvor. Beis Hillel says, no, since you can't see it inside, you don't have to destroy it. Now, it doesn't mean I can eat it outside Yushalayim. I am allowed to keep it around past this Zman HaBir, and at that point, I'm able to, then I can bring Yushalayim and eat it there. Let's remember that we mentioned Biur in the context of Shemitah. And then we had a Machlokes, according to the Rambam, which we don't accept. It means you actually have to destroy if this produce is no longer available for the animal in the field. I have to get rid of it from my house. And the Ramban, who says you mafkir it, that's the Biur in the laws of Shemitah, where we accept the position of being mafkir, of declaring an odorless. But here, in our halacha of Biur Masros, yes, the Bikurim, according to Tanakama, and Maser Sheni, according to everybody, if you can't bring it to Yerushalayim at this Zman HaBir, at this point, it actually has to be destroyed.